Let's pray and we'll get right into our next message on Soul Reset. God, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to worship you this morning. There's so many distractions and things going on in our heart and our head, and what we need is for you to just clear the way, for your word to hit our hearts and our souls and to make an impact on us. We thank you so much that you love us no matter who we are, no matter what we've been through, no matter what we're going through. You love us, you're there for us, and I just pray that you would encourage those who need encouragement, challenge those who need challenge, help us to be more like Jesus. It's in his name that we pray, amen. So we've been in this series called Soul Reset, and we've been taking a moment before the chaos of our fall. And I don't know, maybe your fall's easier than your summer, but my fall is chaos. And so I thought it would be an appropriate time for us to just kind of like check in on our souls, not just run through another series, but go like, your soul is the most important part of you. And we should pay attention to it. And sometimes I need a soul reset. And so 2 weeks ago, we started off this series talking about solitude. And solitude is something we all need in our lives. It's the space without distraction, without people asking us for something, without kids asking us questions, without the boss shooting us emails that we feel like we got to get back to right away. Space without our cell phones, without notifications, without news, just a quiet space for us to check our soul in with God. Jesus left the crowds often to find solitude, and we find certain things when we find those spaces in our life. We see ourselves better. We see our circumstances better. And most importantly, we see God better. He says, be still and know that I am God. And you need clarity in your life. You need direction and to figure out what to do next. Getting solitude and finding space alone without distraction so you can connect with God is absolutely necessary. Last week we talked about prayer. Jesus didn't just leave the crowds. He also did something when he got away from the crowds. He prayed. He didn't just go off and like center himself or hum or play kumbaya on a guitar. He got away and he prayed and connected with his Father. And man, if Jesus does that, then we should too. He modeled it. He showed us how to do it. It's really important. I hope that this week you've been able to just take one honest line daily to God to just check your heart in with him. Today we're talking about something else. And before we get into it, I need a little help today. So my good friend Ed is going to come up here and he's going to give me a little hand with this. And maybe you're like asking right now, what is this? And so I would love to introduce to you all for the very first time, you didn't even know this existed, the Josh Ott Gym for Muscles. What? I'm still working on my logo. All right, Ed, I need you back here. And the first thing we're going to do is, can you grab that gray blender back here and put it together, hopefully, right? I asked for help finding blenders, and I didn't know Brian was going to give me one from 1930. So I was just going to pull some of the stuff up that we use for, this is the good stuff right here, Ed, right? Like, we got that. I got some waters in case we need that, some berries. And look at all this wonderful, beautiful, beautiful stuff. Got some bananas that look ripe enough. And plug that blender in. Oh, before we start, because you know me, right? Like, you know me pretty well, so you're going to need this. Yeah, it's okay. I'm going to need that, too. You definitely need that. I'd take a bath in it if I could. Okay. And then this, you know what this is. You're familiar with this kind of stuff, right? Like, do you need to check it out at all? No. Can you tell me how many servings are on that? Like, one of the things you got to know about the Josh Ott Gym for Muscles is, why are you laughing? Is that you don't get this big just by lifting weights. Right. There's a whole lot that goes into it, and one of the biggest things that goes into it is nutrition.
What you put in.
What right. you put in. You and these guys, they don't just like go lift weights every day. By the way, you're looking huge. Congrats. That's good. Now I need the sanitizer again because I just smacked you on your hairy back. Okay, we're good. All right. From now on, no touching at the Josh Hot Gym for Muscles. We're going to make some shakes. You make a shake. How many servings is?
There's 10 in the container, 2 scoops.
Two scoops. Okay, that's how you do it? All right. I don't know how you do it, but I learned that just always water. Yeah, I did not know that until today. And you put a little water in there. Oh, you put a lot of water in there. I usually do that, but I'm not going to do that today. Here, you can do that first. I'm going to put in some of this stuff. And then some of these blackberries. Does that sound good? Do you like a seedy shake? I like a seedy shake. You don't? Okay, you're not going to use those then, right? Like maybe one of these bad boys and all this delicious stuff. You said two, right? Yes. So I usually do more, not going to lie. I feel like I don't want to upstage you though.
That's okay.
We'll do like three or four. I don't know. We'll see. I got lots of muscles and it ain't easy. It ain't easy. It's not easy. No. Nothing about it is easy. And then you do banana right away.
I just do a half a banana.
You do a half a banana? Just half a banana. The nutrition is found in the skin, my friend. And we definitely need some, like, antioxidants. One strawberry.
That's it.
Yours is going to taste good. All right, man. Like, I'll be with you in a second. Do you do ice? What, the ice like thickens it a little bit. But you missed out on kale, dude. This is like God's special plant. Do you like kale? No.
You don't do vegetables?
Only on cheeseburgers? So much for the nutrition thing. Okay. Let's see if this antique that Brian found at some yard sale 50 years ago still works. Rick? Uh-oh. Dude. Yours looks so good. I forgot the milk. Do you do milk? Let's see, we got to get that down in there. Do you want some?
I don't want milk.
You're good. You feel like you got yours locked in. Okay, let's see what I'm doing. It's getting there. Oh, there we go. There, yeah. There we go. I need a little more fluid, I think. It's just not. I did clean my hands, right? It's okay. Just. Oh, yeah. There we go. Don't. Why you guys. You don't have to drink it. Why are you all groaning at me? That was a mistake, though. I immediately regretted that. But, here, let's go. See? Now it'll mix. Are there cups under there somewhere? Yeah, grab those two cups. All right, do you think this is... Nutrition, man, is so important. Let's pour that out. Oh, lumpy, just like I... And I don't know about you, but I like a little garnish. So we're just gonna... And here, I made this for you. All right, cheers.
Cheers, thank you.
Just to building muscles at the Josh Hot. How is it? It's got a little stem, a little stemmy.
It's not bad.
That's fantastic. You got it dialed in.
I can't do it. I'm sorry.
You can't do it. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Here, you take that with you. Maybe you can work on it. Thank you so much. Let's hear it for Ed. Yeah, this one's fantastic. I love it. And what you got to know about the Josh Hot, there's a runaway blueberry. Just do that. What you got to know about the Josh Hot Gym for Muscles is, one, that you can't just become strong by going through stuff, lifting weights. Like, you need to feed your body and your muscles what they need to grow strong, to prepare you for whatever you got to prepare for. Like, you're chugging that coffee pretty quick to get that taste out of your mouth. To prepare you for whatever you have coming up. In Ed's world, he prepares for powerlifting competitions, right? Like, maybe that's not your world, but you don't just get strong by doing it. You got to feed your muscles. You got to feed what's most important if you want to get big and strong. And sometimes it doesn't even taste good. The stuff you need, it's not always really exciting. Ed's shake made my taste buds dance. Mine shake almost choked him out on a stringy little thing of kale. But even if it doesn't taste good, it's still giving you something. You're still getting something out of it. And here's what also I know, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Drinking one shake this morning is not going to make me strong. If I drink one shake a week, that's commitment for me, let me tell you. That's not going to make me strong. Hitting it once in a while is not going to give me what I need to get through whatever it is or to prepare for whatever it is I am preparing for. If I really want to get strong like Ed and get big like him, I need constant protein. And Josh Shots, gym for muscles is a metaphor today for the Bible. And I don't know what your relationship is with it, but I know you have one shake a week, maybe if you come every week. And I also know that that's not enough. One shake is not going to prepare you for whatever it is you need to be prepared for. And we're talking about soul reset. And your soul is the most important part of you. And what your soul needs is God's word to feed it, to prepare you for whatever is coming. So, big spoiler alert, shocking, I know, simplistic maybe, but super important because your soul depends on it. Today, we're talking about the Bible. Now, this message is a little different because when I was thinking through this message, I didn't prepare it, and I'm not going to deliver it the way I normally deliver a message. Normally, I deliver a message, and I memorize it, and I have a flow to it, and I do all that stuff because I feel like mostly it helps me get out of the way so that I'm not ever just talking about what I want to talk about, but instead I'm trying to just teach God's word and share what he has placed, wants to share with you through me. But today, I like structured this a little bit different, and I'm going to have a lot of notes, and we're going to go really fast, and so I would encourage you to write this stuff down as we talk about the Bible. You know, Jesus, we've been looking at Jesus in every one of these messages because he has modeled all of these things. He modeled going away and seeking solitude. He modeled what it looks like to pray. He teaches us how to pray. And he also modeled the relationship with Scripture that we should have. In Luke chapter 4, we get this incredible little message about, it's not a little message, it's a big deal in Jesus's life before he starts his ministry. It says this in chapter 4. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Therefore, for 40 days, he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. You think? 40 days. At the end of these 40 days, I mean, we're talking pressure here. Like hitting him at his lowest physical moment. He's been running on empty and fasting. His energy is low. His strength is low. And that's when the enemy likes to hit. And you know something about that, because that's when the enemy likes to attack you. It's when you're lowest. It's when you're buying into your insecurities. It's when you're weakest. It's when you haven't been feeding on the things that you should be feeding on. That's when he comes. The devil says to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. I mean, that's pressure when you haven't eaten in 40 days. You know something about pressure. You know something about the pressure other people put on you. The boss puts on you to respond or perform or do something different. The people around you put on you to be somebody for them. Maybe even the pressure you put on yourself to be the dad or the mom or do all the things that everybody needs you to do. You know something about pressure, and you know something about lies. And the enemy here is lying to Jesus. You know something about lies because people lie to you, and sometimes those lies are easy to believe and they roll around in your head and you get confused about where they're coming from. People lie to you about who you are and your worth and your value, and you start believing that maybe you don't have worth and you don't have value. People from your past, maybe even parents or messages from people in your past, play into who you are today, and their lies about who you are, saying you're not good enough, you can never accomplish anything, you're not important, you'll never succeed, you'll always fail. And we get these lies and this pressure. So you're familiar. I'm familiar with the lies and the pressure that are coming in this moment. Tell the stone to become bread. And it says this: Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil, he led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all of the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." More lies coming in this weakened, frail, physical state. The pressure, the lies. And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written." Changing it now, the devil's messing with scripture, but it's more lies out of context. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. What is so interesting about this interaction between Jesus and the devil in this moment where he's been fasting for so long in the desert and he's physically weak and these lies are coming in. What's so interesting about it to me is that Jesus does not defend himself or stand on his opinion. He doesn't crowdsource the answer. He doesn't try to come up with some like witty game plan or use his intellect or wit or charisma to battle back and fight against the devil, all things which he could have chosen to do as the Lord God. But instead, what Jesus chooses to do is to fight, not with cleverness, but with scripture. He knows it. He leans on it. He uses it, demonstrating to us that truth is always more powerful than the lies. And that this is the truth. It leaves me with this question. This question has been messing with me like a stemmy piece of spinach in a wonderful greenish tinted protein shake. So that's how it's been messing with me. If Jesus relied on scripture, on the Bible, the word of God, how can we live without it? But we try. We hit it up like a protein shake on a Sunday morning. Hopefully they're not sleeper messages from God's word. And you're like, that tasted pretty good. I'm good. No. Actually, your soul needs way more. We wonder why under the pressure and the lies, it's so easy for us to crumble. It becomes so hard and we stumble so fast and we get absorbed in all of this nonsense. And maybe it's because we're not feeding our souls the word of God like our souls need to be fed. One shake, it's not going to do it. I have 10 things here about this Bible that we're going to rip through really fast. And I'd encourage you to hang on through the end of the service, the two songs. The last one is a big exclamation point on this whole message, and that was not planned. Scott and I don't talk about it. It was just God setting up the table for all of us this morning. 10 things really fast about this Bible. Before I get to this list, first, did you know that this book is really a library? It's not just a book. It's a library of 66 books written by 40 different authors, people over the span of 1,500 years. These authors were shepherds, they were kings, they were doctors, they were fishermen, they were prophets, all inspired by God to pen his word, God using their personalities and their experiences and their circumstances to put his word down, pen and paper for us. Okay, not pen and paper, stone and chisel or whatever. Papyrus. And what's so absolutely incredible about this word of God, scripture, this book, is that all of these different people spanning centuries of time, living in completely different cultures, speaking different languages, not knowing each other, not knowing what was being written through the other people, all of these people pen together one story. One story. And this one story throughout this entire book is a story about God's love for his people and his plan to rescue and redeem his people, the world, through Jesus Christ. I bought my kids these books, these Bibles, they were little. They're kind of like illustrated Bibles with cartoons and stuff, and it's beautifully written, and they're called the Jesus Storybook. I'd highly encourage you to pick one up on Amazon and read it yourself. I spent a lot of time reading it. It's beautiful and eloquent and amazing and simplistic in its telling of Scripture to us. And what I love about the intro in the Jesus Storybook, as it's talking about the Bible, it says this. It says, every page whispers his name, Jesus. Here's 10 things you got to know about the Bible that maybe like, my hope is that after this, you'll pick it up a little more. You'll drink a shake, not just on a Sunday morning. You'll sip on it often. 10 things, you ready? I'm gonna rip through these. I wrote these things down because I didn't wanna mess the verses up and I didn't trust my memory and it's a lot of content and I didn't wanna mess it up. So this is different. I don't have this part memorized. I'm just gonna lay it on you, get your pens out and get ready to roll. And if you're not ready to roll and you want the information later, I don't know, maybe you can email Megan and if she's feeling nice, she'll get it to you later. I didn't think that part through. Top 10, my top 10 about what the Bible is and what it does. You ready? There's more than this. So if I miss your favorite one, don't email me. I know there's more than this. These are my top 10, maybe not your top 10. First, this is God-breathed and useful. 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 says this, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is divine in its origin and practical and applicable to your life no matter what circumstance you are in its purpose. These are not just the words of men and women. This is the word of God, the inspired word of God for us. Number 2, The Word of God, the Bible, is living and active. This isn't just some book. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This book, it reads you as much as you read it. It's alive and active. That's why sometimes you can read a passage that you've read 100 times that you had somebody flannel graph for you back in Sunday school in 1943, and you read it again today and you're like, wow, I never saw that. It's because this book is alive and active. It's not just a book. It cuts through all of the nonsense in our life, all the distractions, all the fake walls we build, all of the ridiculous excuses we make, all of the distractions we carry into this place. It cuts past all that and touches our hearts. And if we're willing, it will change us. It's living and active. Number three, it's a lamp and a light. Psalm 119, 105. "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It shows you the way forward and it keeps you from tripping up." You ready for number four? It's spiritual nourishment. We read it in this Luke passage. It's also found in Matthew chapter 4:4. If you need a cross reference, Jesus answered, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is spiritual nourishment. This is what will sustain your soul. This is not just about information for your head. This is about transformation for your life. Number five, we're at five, right? Somebody's telling me we're at five. Okay, good. You with me? It's pure and perfect. Psalm 19:7-8. "The law of the Lord is perfect." Listen to this. "Refreshing the soul." Some of y'all need to freshen it up. It's refreshing the soul. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." The Bible, it restores and gives you wisdom and refreshes. Here's number six. It endures forever. I'm super thankful for this one. Isaiah 48, "The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of God stands forever." Everything in our world changes. The news cycle changes all the time. Opinions change. What's expected of us change. How people feel about us change. What we're supposed to portray to others, it feels like it's constantly changing. We live in this world where everything is always spinning, and it feels like it's spinning out sometimes. And I'm so thankful that we have God's unchanging word from this unchanging God for us to steady the ship of our lives when the waves get carried away. This has always been true and it will always be true. This was relevant to people's lives in the first century. How crazy it is that it's relevant to us now. It endures forever. Number seven, it's a weapon of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17, "Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." In that whole study, if you were ever to study Ephesians chapter 6, so interesting that God's word is given two things to compare to: the helmet and a sword, both defense and offense. It protects your head against the lies and it helps you attack the enemy and cut distance forward, helps you move forward in life to become who God wants you to become. Number eight, it's a source of hope. Romans 15, verse 4. "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in Scripture and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." This book builds endurance, and we wonder why we're so worn down. We wonder why it's so hard to keep going. Wonder why we feel so discouraged. This book builds endurance and encouragement into our lives. I'm desperate for that. Are you? Number 9 is cleansing and sanctifying. John 17:7, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. It purifies us and it transforms us. And number 10, it is the power to save. James 1:21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And if you're willing, and if you receive this word of God with humility, it will save your soul. The worship team's going to come out as we wrap here. And I just want to say that sometimes I get it. The Bible feels flat. It can be hard to read and sometimes confusing to read. And you can know, though, that even when you don't feel like you're getting something out of it, you are getting something out of it, because just like a protein doesn't have to taste good, the Bible is still transforming your soul and feeding you even when you don't know it. I think sometimes it feels flat because we are looking for some big, like, aha moment, like fireworks to go off every time we open it, and like, that's the answer that I've been looking for. And sometimes it's more steady and constant in how it changes us. It's not about the big thing, it's about the little thing over and over and over again. Sometimes I think it feels flat because we treat it like a vending machine. We just want to punch some numbers and get what we want out of it on a Sunday morning. It works good and it seems tasty and yay, instead of our daily bread and nutrition for life. Sometimes maybe it feels flat because we just aren't approaching it with a willing heart, looking for transformation. Instead, we're just looking for information. Stop looking for information. Start asking God to use His word to transform you. There is nothing that excites me more than this book, because God is constantly revealing to me all the lies that I've been believing, the truth of how He feels about me, the truth of who I am, that I am called and I have purpose and my life matters and that God wants to use me, all these incredible, beautiful things that we search for in every other place. They're all right here in this beautiful, God-inspired, God's word to us. I got 4 R's for you. I'm pretty sure the last one is a made-up word. We'll see. I got 4 R's for you that I want you to take from this and try to apply it to your life. And I don't care how you apply them, just apply them. The first one is, we read this book relationally. And by the way, if you want to know how to study the Bible deeper and know how to read it deeper, the Don Baker of Grace Free Church will be starting a group in a few weeks called How to Study the Bible. Read it relationally. This is not a textbook, it's a love letter from God to you. That's the first R. The second is regularly. Read it regularly. What if it wasn't just about what happens on a Sunday morning? And if you don't have a Bible, we'll get you a Bible. Download a Bible app. There's a great free one called YouVersion. Get into it. And what if you just took some sips from the beautiful soul protein shake every day? Every day in that solitude and with prayer. Relationally, read it relationally, read it regularly, read it readily. Asking God, I'm willing, I don't know what you're gonna show me. And it might not feel like a lot, but whatever you have for me through your word today, I'm listening and I am ready for it. Even if that means I gotta change something, I'm gonna read it readily, ready for what God wants to do. And here's the last one. Verdict's still out on whether this is a word. I'm probably going to butcher it. Ruminatingly. Ruminate on it. God's word says in Psalm 1, 2, that those, blessed are those who delight in the Lord and meditate on His word. They are like trees planted by streams of water. The seasons come and go, the storms come, but they're still standing. My suggestion is that you take, if you don't know where to start in the Gospels or the Psalms, do you take a little bit of this soul protein shake every day. Pick a sentence from it and just think about it during the day and ask God what he wants you to know or to do in light of what he's saying. And watch. It might not happen right away, but the strength will grow in your soul. And God will transform you through his word. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your love for us, for who you are and what you do, for your word. I pray that it would continue in this place, in this house, in our Tremont house, that it would continue to just cut through all the noise and all the nonsense to our hearts, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us through it. We're so thankful that your word never goes out and returns void. That's your promise to us. And we just say as a church and together and maybe even individually that we want to spend more time in your word, that we want to be committed to it, that our souls need it. And we just say with gratitude, thank you for this incredible gift. Would you use it in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.